Jason, I don't know about you, but when Mantis was introduced in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I feel like the team in the MCU really coalesced in this interesting way. Mm-hmm. So my question is Mantis the Worf of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, you need to explain what you mean by that before I answer that.
So in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, incredible cast, incredible crew, really mm-hmm. neat. When Worf joined the show
From Star Trek The Next Generation,
he wound up being the secret sauce that made the show really awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, now that we're a few years later, do you think Mantis has done the same type of thing for the MCU's Guardians?
I don't know if I agree with that sentiment.
Okay. That's fine.
Because I don't think she like leveled up the Guardians mm-hmm. in Guardians 2 because I think they were already good enough in Guardians 1. I will say that I did like Pom Klimatoff. Is that how you say her last name? I really think she's such a great, I think she's a great actress.
She's so great in this part.
And I really think Mantis is an interesting character. Mm-hmm. I think she definitely improved them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was the secret sauce because I do think the Guardians were already good. And there is a big argument because I think I would make this argument. I'm going to make this argument at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is very good. That's what I'm going to say.
I think that's not a hot take.
And I think 1 is pretty good. So,
well, with that controversial take, I think we might as well get right into it.
Just lob the nuke.
Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason. And ready for all those comments on the internet, Inman. Welcome to Geek History Lesson. We call this your Mind University because we like to invite you in, open up your mind a little bit, and tell you everything you need to know about a character in a little bit less than an hour. And today, we are talking about Mantis. She's a Marvel Comics character, but now in recent years, she has been basically considered a Guardian of the Galaxy, even though for many, many years in the comic books, she was not a part of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true. That is true. And I want to say, if you disagree with Jason's hot take about Guardians 2, which is also my hot take about Guardians 2, and you want to leave a rude remark, you have to pay and do it on the Patreon. That's the only place we'll accept your rude remarks.
Opinions can neither be right nor wrong. Exactly. They are opinions.
Exactly.
So, you disagree with me? Cool.
Amazing. More for you.
I'm still not wrong.
Shall we get into it? Shall we get into the 10 cent origin?
Sure. This wasn't requested by any of our fine
listeners. Sure was not. Right. And I fished for that on Twitter and no one took my bait.
And why are we talking about Mantis?
Oh, that's an important question. We're talking about Mantis because we recently got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Mm-hmm. There will be no spoilers in this episode because we respect our listeners.
Yes.
Even though
this definitely is going to be released after the movie, we are recording it before we have seen the movie.
Yeah. We have not seen it. No, we are recording before we have seen it.
I thought you said we had seen it. I was like, no, we have not.
So there's a spoiler-free zone. Also, frankly, we're doing this one because I wanted to do Mantis.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why. Okay, so here is your 10-cent origin on Mantis, a.k.a. Willow, a.k.a. Lorelei, a.k.a. Mandy Celestine, which I have to say is a great drag queen name, a.k.a. the Celestial Madonna, is a Marvel Comics character. She is a superhero. She's a human mutate, which means she was born human and later mutated.
Just like Drax the Destroyer.
Just like Drax the Destroyer, Burbank's own. She is a half Vietnamese, half German character.
Interesting.
Who was created by Steve Englehart and Don Heck.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about Steve Englehart a lot in our Batman the Bronze Age episode earlier this year. We talked a lot about how great Steve Englehart is in that episode. I'm going to talk a lot about things Steve Englehart does wrong in this episode.
Well,
so maybe compare and contrast these two episodes.
We should also give, I want to give a mad shout out for Don Heck.
Don Heck. All-time great name, first of all.
Who is also a massive, massive comic book character. I mean, he's known for co-creating Iron Man.
Yep.
The Wasp.
Yep.
Black Widow.
Yeah.
Hawkeye.
Yep.
Wonder Man.
Yep.
And he had a very, very long run of penciling the Avengers in the 60s. He is.
And we're getting towards the end of his tenure on that with Mantis' introduction.
He passed away in 1995.
So never got to see his work at the height of its power across pop culture.
Yes. And he is a legend, and I definitely want to give him respect.
Thank you. So. Thanks for doing that. We should respect our creators who create our favorite characters.
That's right.
Mantis' first appearance was in The Avengers number 112 in June of 1973. That means she's actually older than Nebula, mm-hmm. Which I thought was really astonishing. Her team affiliations include the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Avengers, and the Nowhere Corps. And her abilities include a regenerative healing factor, energy energy projection, astral projection, chlorokinesis, so telekinesis with plants, precognition, pyrokinesis, empathy. I didn't know that was a superpower. Then I'm a superhero.
Super empathy.
And being an expert martial artist. She evolves into some of these powers along the way, and we'll get into that in the lesson.
I kind of feel like every character in every comic book universe now is an expert martial artist.
They have to be.
And they all have regenerative capabilities.
Yeah, and they all have genius level intellects. Yeah, 100%.
So that we can't die.
Comics. Yeah. And she is portrayed in the Guardians of the Galaxy animated series by Jennifer Hale and in the MCU live action movies by Palm Clement. And TF, who we lauded at the beginning of this episode. And that is your 10 cent origin on Mantis.
Nice. Let's get into the meet cute, where we're going to explain how we first meted and cuted such characters. This is a term that we stole from romantic comedies. Ashley.
Yeah.
How'd you meet Mantis?
I had no idea who Mantis was until Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and I thought she was honestly one of the only good parts about it.
Huzzah!
And I do think she's quite good in Guardians 2.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is your story any different?
I don't have a specific instance. Mantis was just always one of these weird characters or odd characters that would just sometimes...
You can say weird and not. It's not a pejorative.
That would just sometimes show up in late 90s, early 2000s Avengers comics I would read. Again, I never really tied her to the Guardians until the Guardians movie.
Yeah.
She was just one of these weird... Marvel's got a deep bench of odd, weird cosmic characters,
characters. Spent so long talking about that.
They're like
Star Fox / Arrow / Thanos' brother / Harry Styles.
This is, this is like Marvel cosmic characters are just odd.
Yeah, they're generally speaking not to my taste.
And they're odd in a way that I really can't describe.
That is very specific to the 60s and 70s when most of them were created.
Yeah,
I understand.
And I don't know. Yeah, so that's how I know Mantis.
Well, it's interesting that, you and I both picked films because we're also diving a lot more into film and podcasts in general because we've started.
I pick weird 90s comics, but I will allow this statement to stand.
Well, we started Film Footsteps this year, and that was a huge part of the reason
why.
Wait,
what's this? I don't know what this is.
So Film Footsteps, if you don't know, because maybe this is your first episode, welcome Mantis stands everywhere.
Ooh,
lovers of Guardians of the Galaxy
Mantis stands, too. I like this.
Jason and I this year started a movie podcast called Film Footsteps, where we are talking about films that inspired us in our creative careers. And actually, if you like Mantis and you like kind of ethereal characters, we recently did the 1990s Midsummer Night's Dream, which was a really, really fun episode.
Speaking of space, we're getting ready to do on that podcast Apollo 13.
Yeah.
That's
so all Mantis fans, we have two different choices for you. And the only way that you can get that is if you support us over on the Patreon. Where's that, Jason?
Patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. We do 6 bonus podcasts every single month, including our Justice League animated podcast. So if you're a fan of the Justice League animated series,
come on
over there.
It's my favorite show because I'm not on it.
We do 2 episodes a month. Might be a live stream very soon. There's lots of fun stuff. It's a great way to join our Discord, get ad-free episodes of the podcast. You can get episodes of this podcast early.
Yeah.
For just $3 a month.
Yeah, and you can contribute to GHL
Everything
Extra.
Supports.
Yeah.
Everything supports the Mayan University. So any of that sounds cool, come on over to patreon.com/Jawin. And thanks to all the lovely super friends that do already.
Yeah, I love that ecosystem, so come be a part of it. Okay, now that we're back on track, History 101 time? Yes? No?
Yes.
End the podcast right now?
Let's get into the History 101 of Mantis. Let's do this.
Okay, so before we get into it, I do want to offer a little warning at the top of this episode. We're going to talk a couple of times about sexual assault and female characters whose minds or bodies are not always used within her consent.
Sounds like 70s comics.
And if you're uncomfortable with that, that's okay. But I'm just going to go through her history. And when that happens, I'm going to bring it up. So I'm giving you a blanket warning right now. If that's something you don't want to be a part of, thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Okay. So
hello
or welcome, I guess. I want to start with a question for you before we get into the history.
Answer for you.
Did you know Mantis exists in both Marvel Comics and the DC Comics universe?
It makes sense. Pretty common name.
No, the same character.
How do you... Wait. I've had a record scratch right now. But I don't. Please explain this.
So in a recent Geek History Lesson episode, you and I actually talked a lot about the Marvel Comics idea of the Celestial Madonna. It's pretty much what it sounds like.
We learned about that in our Kang episode. Go check that out. And we learned that Kang was obsessed with making babies with a Celestial Madonna, who at one point became Mantis, which I assume we'll briefly touch on.
Celestial Madonna is Mantis. Mm-hmm. And it's during what is now called the Celestial Madonna Saga, which was Kang and a bunch of other characters kind of going through Marvel cosmic eras, trying to figure out who that was, that Mantis was first introduced by Steve Englehart and Don Heck, as mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Not too long after Mantis was originally introduced, Steve Englehart left Marvel Comics and he went to work for DC Comics, the now defunct Eclipse Comics, and Image Comics. He actually brought Mantis with him to DC, then to Eclipse, and then to Image, before he eventually returned to Marvel Comics and he brought more Mantis stories back with him.
Did he own the rights to Mantis?
He sure didn't. So would you like to know where and how she appears?
Sure.
So, and I have photos to go with each of these.
What? You need to share all these.
Yeah. So in DC Comics, in Justice League of America number 142, there's a character named Willow. And I mentioned at the top of this episode, Mantis, a.k.a. Willow, a.k.a. Lorelei. Those are the two important aliases. She tells the Justice League, and I quote, "This one has come from a place she must not name, to reach a place no man must know." Now, whether you're a fan of Mantis from the comics or the movie, you're probably familiar with her propensity to speak in third person, kind of like Gollum. And she often refers to herself as this one. That's also a thing that you see a little bit in Game of Thrones with Missandei. She doesn't stick around in Justice League of America for very long. In fact, she leaves by the end of the first that first issue, 142, because she has to give birth to Celestial Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jason, could you describe for me what Mantis looks like in the Marvel comics?
No, not really.
Okay, then I'll tell you.
Not really.
I didn't know if you know. So Mantis in the Marvel comics is a green lady with long hair.
Okay.
I'm going to show you now a picture of Willow from Justice League of America number 147.
I was just looking at this picture,
yeah,
actually.
It's literally the same character.
Yeah, but he changed the name, so it kind of is the character, but kind of is not. Like, it's not Mantis.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
So then the Eclipse comic she appears in is called Scorpio Rose number 2, where she calls herself Lorelei, speaks in third person, and has recently given birth to a son. Because remember, she left Justice League to give birth to her son. So here's her from Scorpio Rose.
Okay.
Green skin, yep. Pretty lady, long hair.
But still not called Mantis.
She's called Lorelei. And then later, there is a quote-unquote lost issue of Lorelei's story from the Scorpio Rose series that was published by Image Comics because Eclipse went defunct. In an anthology called Coyote Collection number 1, she still speaks in the third person. She still calls herself Lorelei. Now, I could not find a scan or digital image of this character or of any page in this entire collection. It has not been digitized.
It's very out of print. So, yeah.
Another easy way to kind of connect all these characters through the visual language of comics is she's always green. Her skin is always green.
Mm-hmm. Just like Gamora.
Mantis also made the leap into the world of prose in 2010 in the pages of The Long Man, written by Steve Englehart, where she is once again going under the name of Lorelei.
Mm-hmm.
You might call this conjecture. You might want to accuse me of being a conspiracy theorist wearing my tinfoil hat that is shaped like a duck in Chinese takeout. Steve Englehart wrote a whole blog post about how these are all the same characters and how he did this intentionally.
Okay, well then that's
in the 20 teens. So,
and obviously he couldn't call them Mantis because of
copyrights.
Legal
and
reasons.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat. Okay, that's cool. It also works that she's very ethereal, that she's in all these alternate universes. So cool.
Well, and if she's also supposed to be this sort of celestial Madonna godhead type character, right?
Yeah.
With mystical powers. But
sure.
Honestly, I thought this episode was going to be difficult to follow and confusing as we chased Mantises across the Marvel multiverse, but I think this has kind of already made her one of the more interesting Guardians of the Galaxy characters that we've already talked about.
Yeah.
This episode, I also thought the bit was going to be me trying to make comparisons between the character Mantis and a praying mantis, which is a top tier insect, but honestly, like, this was way cooler mm-hmm. when I figured this out. So now we'll go into the fictional character biography. We're not going to talk anymore about her leaping to other comics universes. I just thought that was a fun thing to start
with. That's
pretty cool
that Steve Englehart did that, though.
Also, it just surprises me that this is the character that he loved so much that he wanted to keep kind of bringing her along with him.
That is interesting. That is a very interesting thought, yeah.
You know, like, I would love to be like, why Mantis? Like, what? Who does she represent in your life?
Look, he likes the Jolly Green Giant. He likes the Hulk. He likes Kermit the Frog. He likes green things.
Yeah, well, he's going to treat her real poorly. So
maybe he doesn't.
So we'll see. So Mantis is born in Hue, Vietnam, to a Vietnamese mother named Luo Nguyen and a German father named Gustav Brandt. In case you didn't know, I don't speak Vietnamese, so those are my best swings at a pronunciation. Please grant me grace. Her father is revealed to be a supervillain.
Okay.
Whose name is Libra, the scariest of the zodiac signs.
Oh, no. I know, Libra.
Well,
oh, no.
He's coming back.
Oh boy! The last time I can remember reading Libra was like in a Spider-Man storyline from like almost 10 years ago. And the entire time I was like, you could tell that the storyline was making fun of Libra. Mm-hmm. So, oh, get ready, listeners, yeah. Get ready for this. Oh boy!
Now, Jason, I would like to ask you if you had a baby girl who you were going to name after an insect.
Yep.
Would you have picked the praying mantis? Because that's her name. Her name is always Mantis.
Her legitimate name is Mantis.
Her government name
is Mantis.
She's human. She is human.
What would be your last name by this?
If she went by her father's last name, Brandt.
So Mantis Brandt is her actual
birth name. Mantis Nguyen if she went by her mother's last
name. Well, I'd say it's Brandt. That makes sense that it's Brandt. No, I would not name. I mean, I guess her dad liked insects?
A lot? I guess. I don't know. She is also born like a normal human baby. She is not green.
She does not have. That's just the way you said that. She is born as a normal human baby.
I said that and I was like, why do I sound.
Not the baby with horns or
why
tails.
Why do I sound like.
Radioactive powers.
Why do I sound like Morbo? Yep. Normal human baby.
A normal human baby.
She is, she's normal human color.
Normal
she
human colors.
She doesn't have antenna. So obviously the name was decided on first.
Thank God my baby has normal human colors.
Yeah. Her father promptly abandoned Mantis, but not to her mother's care. He said, I'm going to take my normal human baby to the temple of these alien high priests of Parma, who turn out to actually be a sect of the Kree. I'm going to leave my normal human baby at this Kree temple.
That's not normal temple.
Yes, exactly.
It's very extraterrestrial and odd temple.
Yes. When Mantis was discovered by the Kree there, they think, this baby might be the celestial Madonna. We should forcibly mate her with the oldest Gotati on Earth so she can give birth to the celestial messiah named Sequoia, the most important human being in the universe.
Is a Gotati another alien?
So I do have a Gotati.
Okay, what is that? Yeah.
An alien race descendant of highly intelligent plants that, like the Kree, is living long term on Earth.
Them before,
yes, we have.
I believe. Yes.
Yeah. This also isn't that much paraphrasing on my part. Mantis is literally brought in as a baby and turned immediately into a breeder. It's really kind of gross.
So she's like aged up pretty quickly.
No, she grows at a normal human rate.
I just want to say to all the aliens that are listening to this broadcast, this is not a normal human practice.
To breed,
To breed a newborn.
All right. The Kree raise Mantis in their Priests of Parma sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And they train her where she proves to excel at martial arts.
Got it.
And they keep her there until adulthood once she's an adult, they immediately mind wipe her and then they send her back out into the world for the first time to gain life experience.
Hurrah!
Yeah, seems like a bad plan.
I agree.
Mantis almost immediately becomes a sex worker and a bartender. Which leads her to meet a character named the Swordsman.
Oh, I know the Swordsman.
The Swordsman is, I would say, a mid-tier Marvel hero who is sometimes an Avenger and sometimes a bad guy.
Started,
kind of in the Hawkeye tradition.
He started as a villain.
Yeah.
And then he became a hero. He's classic anti-hero.
He's Clint's mentor as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She helps him to, he's like sad and bumming around, and which is why he meets her drinking in this bar.
Yep.
So she helps him to regain his self-respect. And when the Swordsman sets out to rejoin the Avengers, because I guess he's sobered up for a while, she goes along with him. And from this point forward, because the character has entered her superhero era, she is always kind of a superhero or a superhero adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Mantis and Swordsman do engage in what is supposed to be viewed as a romantic relationship, but there is a lot of toxicity and a lot of coercion going on between them.
Again, we talked about this in the Kang episode.
It's very, very bad.
They're technically dating when she is like kidnapped by Kang.
Yeah. Now, Jason, I want to ask you for your thoughts on Mantis's origin and how it relates to the MCU, but I want your answer right after this. We are back on GHL. We are talking Mantis and her pretty troubling origin. So, Jason, did you know any of this? And do you think that the MCU accidentally made the best choice possible by wiping all of this from the big screen?
Well, they did this with Drax as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's simpler just to make these characters aliens, mm-hmm. especially since they're in space, because otherwise it's the Green Lantern problem with you're like, well, if every Green Lantern is from Earth.
Yeah. How special are any of these people?
Or like, why Earth? Like, it becomes very, you know, Homo sapien specific.
Centric. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's impossible in a galaxy. It just doesn't make sense. We're not that special. Sorry. We're just not.
Yeah.
You know, not when we're a flicker in a galaxy this big. We're just not that special. But yeah, a million times.
Yeah.
Like, this is bad. You know, look, they were just doing the best they could with what they had, trying to create
drama. And they were doing the best under the standards of the time,
right,
of course. Like,
right.
This character was created in the 70s, but like, it's so bad.
It's pretty, yeah.
I like her much more as just a weird alien, honestly.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, so Mantis, the swordsman, they're joining the Avengers. So the Avengers are like, swordsman, you can absolutely rejoin the Avengers. Mantis, do you like want to join the Avengers? And she's like, no, I don't actually want to join in a full-time capacity. But instead, she elects to serve as kind of this ally. I think because the editors didn't want her on the book at the time, she just kind of shows up on some of their sillier or more cosmic-y adventures as their sort of one-offs require her to show up.
Yep.
And they didn't have a requirement to have more than one woman on the team at the time.
Got
so
it.
They were like, nah, we don't need you. Working with the Avengers, she goes on to fight the Lion God, the original Zodiac. So the Zodiac, like the Zodiac signs in Western astrology, are a set of 12 villains. And this is where she learns about Libra, Jason's favorite character, being her father. And this is where she gets back her memories about being raised by the priests of Parma, the Kree aliens.
It also makes sense because there also is a DC villain also named Libra.
Yes.
So
she also fights,
helps her because she's crossed over as well.
Yes. She fights the Starstalker. She fights Thanos. She fights Claw. She fights Solar. She fights Nuklos. She fights Ultron and many other Marvel Comics supervillains that you have definitely heard of. While working with the Avengers, our little Mantis develops her first crush besides the swordsman.
Oh, how sweet.
Jason, I would love to ask you to guess which one of the Avengers is it that you think Mantis falls for?
The swordsman?
No, besides the swordsman.
Oh, okay.
This is her crush outside of the swordsman. Because she's still kind of dating him.
Hank Pym.
No. Vision.
No.
I have to say, Vision is more of a stud muffin than I thought, and I'm learning this over the course of my time on GHL. Most of the women like want to at some point get it on with the synthesoid.
He's uncomplicated, I guess.
And I like Vision a lot, but I just think it's wild that he's the one that everyone winds up with a crush with at one point or another.
I get it.
You know, I wish I could report to you that Mantis and Vision broke up with their significant others and made sweet love to each other before she ripped his head from his neck in a fit of passion. But sadly, I can't.
Or if they made a normal human baby.
Well, I was making a praying mantis joke.
I understood your joke, but I was also bringing back the bet.
No, Vision can't make normal human babies, as we've learned from Billy and Teddy's Tommy's existence.
Or can he?
He can't. Vision actually politely turns down Mantis's advances because he is with Scarlet Witch at the time. And, you know, when you're trying to get over a breakup and you really want to spend time with, the person that actually loves you, you turn people down. So lucky Mantis, she is trying to get over this breakup. She's having a hard time and she's immediately abducted by Kang along with the Scarlet Witch and Agatha Harkness, because this is during this trip to space prison that Mantis is revealed to the rest of the galaxy to be the Celestial Madonna. Kang finally finds her. He's so happy. He immediately kills the swordsman, her boyfriend, and it is Swordsman's death which finally makes it clear to Mantis that she actually did love him all along, and she did have stronger feelings than she ever did for Vision. Lucky him, I guess. So Jason, I want to ask,
yes,
what do you think that Mantis does? So she's full of grief about the swordsman. She has more knowledge about her fate than ever before. What do you think she does?
Well, In what respect? I'm sorry. I don't really, this is a very general question.
Why, so I know because the answer is very silly.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, what do you, like, you, like, does she go get a, like, a job or like, I don't understand, like, what, you know, I guess I don't have a good answer for you here. So.
Okay. So now that she finally understands, like, what her existence is sort of in the point of the
Marvel. Well, you would hope that she, like, goes and teaches, like, a spirituality class or, like, yoga or, like, does a retreat in Sedona of some type, you know, because, like, she should impart that knowledge because now that she's a special human baby.
That's right.
She should help people. But you tell me she's going to go work at Dollar General or something?
No, honestly, that would have been a better choice. Mm-hmm. She formally joins the Avengers. Instead of just being a reserve member, she reveals to everybody.
So now she's cool enough to join the team.
She reveals to everyone immediately that she's the Celestial Madonna.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, we know. God, stop telling us.
And then they reanimate the body of the swordsman.
Oh, this is not going to go well.
With a Kotati, one of those advanced plant aliens, inside of it, piloting the body. She marries the
body. Oh, I know
this.
Yep.
Then she rage quits the Avengers.
But I don't think, she doesn't know it's actually a Kotati,
Doesn't. Yeah. Not at the time. She knows later. And all this time, she manages to procreate with her husband's body.
So she now has made a abnormal alien human hybrid.
Yeah. It's bad. She, like, the girl is spiraling. Mm. It's not good. Somebody, like Jason alluded to, someone needs to teach Mantis about therapy and self-care and, like, just going through your feelings as they happen. As tends to happen after mating, Mantis gave birth to a child named Sequoia.
Like the tree.
She renames herself Mandy Celestine in homage to the Celestial Madonna.
Nice.
And moves to Willimantic, Connecticut, which is a real place.
Oh, because it sounded similar to her name?
I don't know. Maybe Steve Englehart lived there?
Willimantic sounds so romantic.
I don't know. If you're from Connecticut, is Willimantic a nice place to raise your Celestial Messiah child?
I'm going to guess on spelling it. Let's find out.
Mandy and Sequoia live in Connecticut for about 5 minutes before she follows in the footsteps of her own father and hands over the raising of Sequoia to the Cree, because that went so well for her.
Willimantic is home to the Wildenham Textile and History Museum, which highlights its rich 19th century textile industry.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then she goes into space with the Silver Surfer to fight the Elders of the Universe.
Hooray.
Jason, do you know who the Elders of the Universe are?
It's Eternity and stuff. Other people. I don't know the other names of them. I'm sorry.
So the Elders.
I'm going to say time, space, the Watcher.
The Watcher's wrong, but you're not too far. The Elders of the Universe are a group of celestial supervillains. The Collector is actually the first Elder to make himself known.
Oh, I'm sorry. And the Grandmaster.
Yeah. So other members include the Architect, the Astronomer, the Caregivers, Daughter of the Collector, Challenger, Champion of the Universe, Contemplator, Ego the Living Planet, Explorer, Father Time, Gara, Gardener, Grandmaster, Judicator, Obligator, Professor, Profiteer, Promoter, Runner, Trader, and Voyager. And then, yes, Eternity also gets lumped in with them. So while fighting together, the Silver Surfer develops feelings for Mantis. And Mantis develops bitter and angry feelings about being forced to give up her child.
All right.
Fun fact, it is during this era where her human flesh turns tones of green and she manifests new physical powers for the first time, which suddenly allow her to survive in space without a suit, and are kind of hand waved away as being side effects of her pregnancy with the Celestial Messiah. I wanted to note this because I could see Mantis in the MCU suddenly turning green, maybe due to some version of the storyline or another, because she is traditionally green.
I'm going to, just from a production standpoint of things, going to guess that she won't, because Gamora's already green. And the Hulk's already green.
Yeah, but do you think Gamora's going to last past this next movie?
No, but you're not going to make multiple characters. That's the whole reason why Drax is gray.
Well, that's why I was going to say, like, if Gamora's leaving, I could see them doing something where Mantis wound up being the green girl.
I actually think what I could see them doing, again, we're talking about a movie that's already out. I could eventually see them making her pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, they are 100% doing this, some version of this storyline.
Eventually.
Yeah. Whether it's in this phase or 12 down the pike, this is their plan with this character. Her mutations continue until she is almost exploded. But instead of dying, she just splits into multiple versions of herself in an act that's honestly more like the reproductive traits of plants than an insect, if I can just offer a note, with each different body representing a different aspect of her psyche in the boringest choice of all times. all of the mantises go back to Earth and one of them joins a specific Avengers team. And Jason, I'm going to need you to sing the song.
Oh, did she join West Coast Avengers? Down, down, boy.
She sure did.
One of our earliest.
We got the whammy bar.
Earliest Geekhistory lesson jokes that we haven't done in a long time.
That's why I had to bring it up. Yeah.
We basically told the story of all of the West Coast Avengers, so that's why we haven't heard about them in a long time.
Yeah. I still have this one of our early T-shirts. I have that one before they nerfed it from the internet.
Before Disney decided that never let us put it again. I have one of the T-shirts too.
I hold on to it proudly. Mm-hmm. Steve Englehart got fired during this storyline.
For taking her to the West Coast?
So it folds pretty quickly, which leads Mantis to run all around the world, join up with a bunch of teams for a couple of issues here and there while she tries to put her psyche back together again and get all in one body.
Are any of the other teams of importance or note?
No. And literally it's for like an issue here, a story arc here.
She becomes
minor.
Like a terminal guest star.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is all culminated in yet another defeat of Kang, with Mantis realizing that she has to leave her body on Earth, join with the Kotati, the plant aliens, and raise her son.
Mm.
She then disappears for the rest of the 80s and into the 90s until 1995. So she kind of goes to bed for like 15 years or so. When she returns in the Avengers event storyline, The Crossing. Avengers The Crossing, by the way, is considered to be one of the worst Avengers stories of all time.
It's far and away. Are you going to explain what happens?
We are going so deep into The Crossing.
Yep.
And she shows up.
You know what? You know what we're going to need for the Avengers The Crossing? I wonder if somebody has done the Avengers movie theme, but like by a kazoo.
Okay.
Or like by a recorder.
Okay. Why don't we do this? While you look that up, why don't we take a break? We're going to sort ourselves out and we'll come back and I will break down The Crossing for you.
All right, sure.
Okay. We're back on GHL talking Mantis and we are getting into The Crossing. So am I okay to proceed while you're doing some searches?
Let me see. I might have a theme for us. Let's hear what this sounds like. Hold on.
Oh my God. Is that good? I admire them for making it and putting it on the internet.
Let me see if I can get to the main chorus here. Or I'll find a. I'll surprise you. Get to a climactic moment and say, cue the music, and we will play the next bit of this.
Okay, so Avengers The Crossing starts. Mantis shows up as the bride of Kang, working with him to fulfill his plan to, and I'm going to paraphrase the Scarlet Witch, kill all Avengers.
I'm glad that you going through this event, because like this event didn't come up in the Kang the Conqueror episode, and it is like all caused by Kang, but it's mainly an Iron Man story.
Yeah, I'm going to say I could see them doing a version of this.
I hope not.
I really could.
I hope not.
So
keep going.
Mantis specifically wants to kill her father, who is still a villain. He is no longer going by the name of Libra. He has changed his name to, I need you to brace yourself, Moonraker. I'm not kidding. That is his new name in the 90s.
The Ian Fleming estate didn't ring Marvel?
I guess. Well, he eventually goes back to being called Libra. Yeah. So I suspect they may have.
This would have been around the early 90s.
This is 95.
This is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So she wants to kill her father and she wants to kill the Kotati alien who is living in the body of the swordsman, the one who impregnated her because she now knows that he's an alien.
Got it.
Honestly, I support her anger in wanting to slaughter both of these men.
Got it.
I don't think she's wrong. She does vivisect her father. So, you know, you go girl boss. And the storyline was so immediately lambasted by readers that in Avengers Forever, writer Kurt Busiek retconned these actions away to be the result of the space phantom who was brainwashed into thinking he was Mantis at the time.
Best
rather
forgotten.
Than Mantis herself. Yep. So are you confused yet? The next time Mantis emerges is when Steve Englehart gets his hands on her again in the pages of Avengers Celestial Quest.
Oh, we didn't really go into hardly any of the details of Avengers The Crossing the way you said we were going to.
Well, that's what she did in Avengers The Crossing.
I was like, we didn't dive into this event at all. Like, you literally skipped past, like, the most important part.
Well, this is the Mantis episode.
The only way that they consider that they could beat Kang, because what it was revealed is that Kang supposedly has been manipulating Iron Man since the very first adventure.
Yeah.
And so him and Kang decimate people, like they beat the Avengers. So the Avengers are like, the only way we can beat Tony Stark is with Tony Stark.
Oh,
and they go back in time.
And get younger.
And they get a 19-year-old Tony Stark to fight an old evil Tony Stark. And then when Heroes Reborn happens, they basically ignore the storyline. So since we're not going to get deep into that, we're going to hear the big crescendo.
Yeah. I could also see Marvel, whenever they decide to pay Robert Downey Jr. however much money he comes back, wants to come back, doing some version of that.
That's what I thought you were talking about, not all the other Mantis shenanigans.
Talking,
it was like the most important thing of the Avengers Crossing is the fact that they were like, the Avengers are like, the only one that can beat Tony Stark is a young Tony Stark.
Yeah. No, I was talking more about Mantis just like slaughtering people left or right. So like I said, the next time she reemerges, and Steve Englehart comes back onto the Avengers in Avengers Celestial Quest. When she finally returns to Earth to collect the aspects of her personality. Remember, he ripped her into a bunch of different pieces and nobody liked it. And Steve Englehart said, you know what? I'm going to do that again. And he names all the different aspects of her personality. And they are called Freak, Mother, Prostitute, Mystic, and Avenger, which is only mostly offensive, honestly, but is pretty offensive. And I just add to Steve Englehart's laundry list of offenses that he sort of perpetrates on this character. Like, it's really sad.
Yeah.
So after some even more cosmic nonsense and a Thanos, not Thanos clone killing some of these aspects, the final and complete Mantis emerges, who goes immediately back to space to protect her son, who is now going by Koi instead of Sequoia. It's spelled Q-U-O-I, which is also the French word quoi, which means what. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming it's supposed to be clever in some way. Mm-hmm. So basically, Steve Englehart brought her back to Earth to kill all the other aspects, to send her back to space to raise her son, which was kind of what she was doing already when he took over this arc. It is heavily implied that as she goes back to space to look after Koi, that she has sex with Vision on her way out there.
Told you. It's gonna happen.
But she eventually leaves him behind because she doesn't want his wife to be jealous of her relationship with Vision.
Got it.
Which honestly I think is not great. She then goes back into the toy box for a few more years until 2007. She makes a guest appearance in Annihilation Conquest. She makes a guest appearance in Secret Invasion, where they pretend that she's killed by Magnus for a bit. She then does not reemerge until the Age of Ultron storyline, which I read when it came out, and then I reread, where she also plays Blink and You Miss Her. Mm-hmm. She plays Blink and You Miss Her again in Empire. And then in the post-MCU Guardians of the Galaxy team, she joins the lineup in the second volume and again at the end of the first volume, but kind of in the second wave of that story, and plays a supporting role and has had almost no character development since then. And that's the Mantis episode.
Hey!
So she got
40.
Everything that she did before 2000 was tied to continuity and borderline offensive. Mm-hmm. Everything she's done post 2000 has been
tied to the movie, and she's done nothing.
But offer up glib lines here and there. Mm. And I think it's really kind of sad because I think the building blocks of who this character is are really interesting.
She's the Celestial Madonna.
She is the Celestial Madonna.
She's like the Richard Belzer of comic books. She's crossed Eclipse comic books.
Yeah, I was like, you have to explain what that means.
And DC Comics. Well, Richard Belzer is an actor who is on Homicide, Life and Street.
Legendary American
Law and
actor.
Order and Law and Order SVU. He was on the X-Files. He recently passed away. It's an amazing actor. You recognize him. He's skinny, has sunglasses.
Him, you'll recognize him.
But he has played the character Detective John Munch on more television series than any other actor ever. He holds the record.
Yeah.
Mantis holds that record for comic books, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
I do have some recommended reading for you. Would you like to hear them?
Rock on. Well, you can go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommendedreading And we have a list for every single episode we've ever done. We have three or four suggestions, sometimes six suggestions based on the episode. So if you're interested in Mantis and want to read some of these Celestial Madonna stories, I assume, you can go there, click on the widget, and pick up a copy of the book.
So like I mentioned in our Nebula episode, I am trying to recommend things I haven't recommended much before because we've done a lot of Guardian stuff during this era of GHL.
50-some episodes, we're going to repeat.
100%. So the first one is Avengers Epic Collection Celestial Madonna. This is the storyline where she is introduced. This brings her to the height of her power. This kind of cements where this character came from. And I do think they are going to lift some things from this in the future of the MCU.
Something they will.
It's a really neat collection. So I recommend picking that up. It's the easiest way to get into some of this OG cosmic-y nonsense. Okay. I'm also going to recommend Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I usually recommend Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. This is the Marvel Now continuity. She gets introduced in issue 5, which is the last issue of this collection.
Okay.
So if you just go to Volume 2, she's on the team. So if you want Mantis plus Guardians reflecting the team you know from the movies, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is the best place to start.
Got it.
And then lastly, you could only find this
and you're talking about the comic book, not the movie.
Yes. I mean, I will put the movies on here as
Bingo.
Well. But yes, the comic book. You can only find this digitally because I think it's been scrubbed from print. I'm going to recommend Avengers The Crossing.
Oh, boy.
Because it is so wild.
Yeah, sure.
And you can find it digitally. So if you are not a digital reader, I recommend becoming one, at least for this. Because again, I do think there are some elements that they will lift from the storyline. And I think Disney executives think they're being clever doing this because the story is kind of universally
I could
panned.
Also see MCU Grand Poobah Kevin Feige basically being like, we'll do it right this time.
100%.
I've actually been saying that for years, that I think that they might do the same thing with a Spider-Clone saga where they might be like, yeah, but we'll do it right. And you're like, no. You should avoid this storyline at all costs.
I'm not going to lie. I would love to see them try.
No, it is gone. Do not even try. It is cursed. All right, cool. So are we going to move into the honor roll?
Let's move into the honor roll.
That is if you go over to now Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. We will read your review live on the air as a thanks for giving us a shout out on the internet and telling all your cool friends, hey, come listen to this podcast. Ashley, who joins the honor roll this week?
Joining us this week is the official Jason Hall, who says, absolutely fan-freaking-tastic. Ashley and Jason are a fantastic duo and know so much about comics, it boggles the mind.
Oh, thank you.
We do a lot of research. This is my go-to podcast for comic research whenever I need to figure out what to read next or do some research for my own podcast. Dude, we should make a podcast. Shameless plug. You can do shameless plugs here. We also love GHL Family Podcast. So check out Dude, we should make a podcast. Keep up the good work. You guys are an inspiration to all of us. P.S. I am patiently waiting for a multiple man episode.
Maybe waiting a while, my friend.
So the official Jason Hall, welcome into the teacher's lounge. The official Jason Inman, what's going on in here today?
In here in the Mine University teacher's lounge is Mantis. There's a bunch of bugs in the fridge because Mantis has her snacks and they eat bugs.
She just rips off their heads, though. She just leaves the body in there. It's kind of messy.
It's getting kind of gross. Yeah. It's getting kind of stinky in there. So, I mean, you didn't come on the best day. I'm sorry. But welcome.
Welcome.
But welcome. Hello. And welcome inside. And by the way, I just want to mention something in his comment. Thank you for the great shout outs there as well. People know we do research, right? Wait, like they don't think we're pulling this all from our heads, right?
I mean, I think so, but
I mean, we used to do the videos of GHL, and people got mad that we looked at a computer
that we read notes,
and it's like we write an outline for these.
Yeah,
how else could we do it?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to throw that out there.
No, but also, I mean, like that's a very lovely compliment, and I do hope that's what we provide to people. But like, we do a lot of research, which is why we've now brought in amazing research assistants like Meredith and Diego.
I didn't take it as anything but
a compliment.
So thank you.
But
again.
Like, I do hope.
What's the gentleman's name again?
The official Jason Hall.
Oh, the official Jason Hall. Who's the unofficial Jason Hall?
Of dude, we should start a podcast. Fame.
Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining for that review. If you want to be like him, again, 5-star review over on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to download and subscribe everywhere you listen to podcasts to Geek History Lesson. If just, you know what? Open up your phone right now. double check that you're subscribed to us. It makes a difference.
And then open up your boyfriend, girlfriend, them friends, or parents' phones and subscribe on their phones. You know what? Take your Lyft driver's phones and subscribe them.
Yes.
That's a gift you can get.
Blindfold
them.
Your Lyft driver.
While they're driving.
While they're driving. Take their phone.
and subscribe to GHL.
They won't know. And you'll get a fun little adventure out of it.
There you go.
Yeah. And then don't forget to follow us on social media, the podcast social media. Ashley, where can they do that?
Oh, you can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or you can do it, of course, on Twitter at GHL Podcast or Insta at Geek History Lesson.
You can follow Ashley on Instagram and Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, and I guess Spoutable. I guess I'll post over there eventually.
I'm on Hive.
J-A-W-I-I-N. Hive's dead.
I know. R.I.P. I love that little logo.
And now it's time for hashtag stick around.
Stick around.
Where we make sure you stuck through all the plugs. Ashley, what are we talking about?
Jason Inman. Do you think we're going to get Sequoia in the MCU?
Still got that beat.
Do you think we're going to get the Messiah, Celestial Messiah? When they're ready for, you know, generation 3 of the Guardians of the Galaxy and Palm Clementief is like, I can't prop up this entire franchise on my back anymore. I need an Advil.
I don't think we're going to get the Celestial Messiah.
Uh-huh.
I think we'll probably get the Celestial Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will be Mantis.
Mm-hmm.
I think... Because you can kind of tell if you can look, you watch the interviews and you watch like certain things. It really seems like Palm Clementief.
And that, like, that's also just our best approximation of her last names. And we're doing our best. We love her. We're obviously fans.
She seems game.
She does. I think she's happy to be a superhero. I think she's smart.
And she's great. She's great in the part.
One of the better actors. Yeah.
So it would make sense to me to make that part of like whatever the next phase is that the Celestial Madonna is like the person that can beat our next villain.
That'd be cool. Like Celestial Madonna v like Galactus or something like that.
I also say that because I think if you've only watched the movies,
yeah,
the last person you would predict to be that would be Mantis.
Yeah.
But all the comic fans would be like, it's going to be Mantis.
Well, and Mantis, you know, like we talked about.
Also, she is the child of Ego, as we've learned very recently in their continuity. So she is part Celestial, too.
Yep. She also like ties into characters like Silver Surfer. Like, if we're going to be introducing those characters in the MCU, then she's also a perfect bridge to stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, think about it like, when you think about it, it really also helps explain her powers because, like, think about it. She was the one that could touch Thanos and make him sleep.
Yeah.
So imagine a scenario with a Kang or a Galactus where she does the same thing. Mm-hmm. And people are like, how can you do this to these super powerful? Well, she's the Celestial Madonna. Whatever that is or whatever
that might mean in the MCU.
I don't think we'll go as far as, like, her baby has importance.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them making Mantis pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. But I think if they do that, they'll play it more as like she has a boyfriend now. And I could also see her boyfriend also being on the like.
Like if they took Swordmaster or whatever, look, Swordsman.
Look, again, at the time of this recording, I haven't seen Guardians Galaxy Volume 3. Be very easy to partner up with Adam Warlock. I guarantee you the baby of Adam Warlock, the one, and a half celestial
would
be very powerful.
That's
could
a good
be,
pitch.
Could be completely wrong on that or whatever, but I bet you they'll do some. There'll be some wink, I think, to the Celestial Madonna somehow. It's too good for story possibilities, I think.
Yeah. Great. But that's all we got.
Yeah.
Thank you for sticking around.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for...
Stick around.
I love that sound effect.
It's great. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Mantis episode. Just like a Mantis, a little bit short, but still powerful.
Very powerful.
I'm Jason, not... a normal human baby Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria, reminding you last week's episode was almost 1.5 times as long as normal. So if you think this one is too short, keep it to yourself, Victoria Robinson.
I think the... Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think you had the order right. I was like, wait a minute, maybe you had the order wrong. Yeah, nope. Yeah.
Not this time.
She remembered it. That's some inside baseball for you. And Professor Ashley, will you please close out this podcast with your best impression of a kazoo? I just wanted to throw that out to you, see if you do it. That's the best you got for a kazoo?
That's all I got. I'm a flautist. Leave me alone. I was trying to do classes now to Smiths. No, I was trying to do classes now to Smiths. I wasn't trying to sing. Yeah, you're not so hot either.
What was that?
I have no idea.
Is it our theme song?
Oh, I was like, I have no idea.
The most recognizable
Wind
song.
Wind Waker.
Yeah, anyways, this is the class. I think we're done.
Bye.